Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We welcome into the program, talk a little bit about the Falcons and some of the headlines in the NFL. Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk, who's kind enough to join us on the WadeFord.com hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Josh Alper. His choice of colleges is debatable, but not standing that, he's here to talk about professional football. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Very well.
So, Josh, why isn't the Atlanta Falcons, with all the moves they made in the offseason, why aren't they getting the kind of love nationally, do you think?
Well, I think that everyone's waiting to see what this offensive line looks like first and foremost, because they made so many changes there, and you can't hit, as you know, in this time of the schedule. And until you can hit, until the pads are on, I know I did a post this week where Alex Mack was talking about Lindstrom and McGarry and how good they've looked and their attitudes and all these other new pieces. But until you're hitting and until you're seeing how, you know, you're going to impose your will there. And I think that's big. I think seeing Devonta Freeman on the field and seeing how he's moving is going to be really big. I think that, you know, finally getting the Grady Jarrett situation figured out and all those defensive players who were hurt last year, Keanu Neal and Deion Jones. And I just think everyone needs to kind of see this team in action before you buy that they're back to the, you know, the team they were before all the injuries last year and before the line kind of broke down. And so, and I think that's all, you know, right next to that is the fact that the Saints were so close last year, and that, you know, the Panthers have also been aggressive this offseason. The Buccaneers have new coach, and obviously the moves with McCoy within the division and Sue, it's just sort of been flashier stuff elsewhere. And the Falcons did what they needed to do. The offensive line was the key, but it just isn't the sort of thing that, you know, puts fireworks in the air.
No, I understand that. Josh Alper,
yeah,
Pro Football Talk.
I catch that.
Is certainly joining us here. Yeah, it is a fireworks in the air, but in a way, a manner of speaking, some of us who are Falcons fans, and I'll speak for myself, kind of look at it as you're adding Keanu Neal and Rico Allen, presuming that they're healthy, back into this team as kind of additions to this team, because they didn't play so, you know, missed so much last year and almost the entire season. And so getting them back is an addition in and of itself. And if it works for the Atlanta Falcons, that'll be great. But the bigger news with the Falcons isn't necessarily player personnel. It's look at what they did in terms of their coaching staff. That was the big move here. When you have three new – you fire all your coordinators, Josh. Dan Quinn takes over the defense. You bring in Dirk Cutter to run the offense. Mike Mularkey. You have Raheem Morris. You have four or five ex-head coaches. I mean, this when in a year and time where everybody else is going to the Zach Taylors and, you know, the Sean McVays of the world, the Falcons went 180 degrees the other way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the Dirk Cutter move is one that is really big. I think that anything that you do that's going to make Matt Ryan more comfortable and make, you know, a dial back to a time where things were a little bit more successful than they were last year, it's obviously a step in the right direction for them to do that and to, you know, load up on things for this season. It does feel like a really big season for Quinn, and putting him in charge of the defense and putting his stamp all over the team is I think all of these things, as you said, the experience of the coaches and the level of expectation that comes along with that are very big things. But I think it's good for the Falcons that they're able to do these things without everybody sort of battering down on them and saying, you know, what does this mean for Dan Quinn's future? What is this going to mean for 2020 and beyond? It's all about this year, and it's all about fixing the most obvious things that were wrong last year. You get those players back on defense, and you get that offensive line fixed. You still have Ryan, Julio, Calvin Ridley, and you have all the pieces in place to make it happen with a coaching staff that should be able to handle pretty much anything that comes along.
You know, with the national perspective, we're talking about that. Was it the right thing to keep give Vic Beasley the money that you gave him?
Look, you need the pass rushers, and you need the guys that can make that you know, make the quarterback feel uncomfortable. And you have Grady Jarrett doing that on the interior of the line. You need the guys coming off the edge. It was a thing where, I think that you're sort of, there's a hopefulness about what Vic Beasley's going to be able to do. And you think back a few years ago and what he did with the 15 and a half sacks and everything that he meant that year, and kind of hoping that comes back and that you find a way to get that back in, because they weren't going to be able to get that kind of player in free agency. And, you know, while the draft offered some of those kinds of players, I think that the offensive line was just a bigger need. And if you're going to find yourself in a spot with a guy who, you know, you've believed in the past, and you hope that Dan Quinn knows how to tap right back into those things and get that back out, I think that's the bet you're making there. And it's, look, it's one that's going to have to pay off for the defense to be as good as they hope it can be. But it just, I don't see what other route they were going to go.
Talking with Josh Alper, one of the key writers for Pro Football Talk. He's on the WadeFord.com hotline. We're talking about the Falcons as they get ready for mandatory minicamp and for the rest of the NFL. Josh, you're up in New York now, and so you can give us a perspective. We get caught. This is the Falcons flagship station. I've been a Falcons fan for 45 years. I get trapped in all my fandom. Everybody in Atlanta knows that. And as a result, I don't necessarily have that kind of point of view of the NFC South that maybe I should have from a national perspective. As you look at this division, I'm sure you think that the Saints are the team to beat, and that's fine. But the Swampers, we assume that they are. But how does this division fall in your estimation? With, you mentioned Sue in Tampa, Bruce Arians. You know, is Cam going to be healthy? Now you have the addition of McCoy for Ron Rivera. How do you look at this division overall, and how do you think it's going to shake out?
Well, yeah, I think you're right. The Saints are the team, I think, the team to beat. I think they have to be based on the last couple of years and certainly last year. But after that, it's the big question marks everywhere. You have the offensive line in Atlanta, Cam Newton in Carolina. If his shoulder's not right, you can't jump on that train, and you can't really believe that they're going to be better than they were last year. And you know, for Tampa, I feel like it's a lot to ask for one off season. Unless Bruce Arians turns Jameis Winston into something that he hasn't been in terms of a consistent, low mistakes, high reward quarterback that we just haven't seen to this point in his career. I'm not a buyer there. And I think that Atlanta, Carolina, I think that there's at least two playoff teams coming out of this division. I think the Saints are one, and that Atlanta, Carolina is going to be the other one. And look, I would lean towards Atlanta right now simply because I have more faith in the pieces that they have than I do in a constant, you know, with two of the last 3 years, shoulder surgery for Cam Newton. You start to feel like maybe there's something going on there in the style of play that he's going to play and everything else. But, they're two very talented teams, and if you wound up with that three NFC South teams in the playoffs again, that's not going to be surprising. When you look at the NFC, I think all three of those teams rank, towards the top half of the conference. And that's going to makes it very hard to make big predictions because, they're going to beat each other up in a way that teams aren't going to have to worry about in the NFC East or North.
I got something for you that might be in your wheelhouse a little bit since you're up in New York. The Giants, I know you're probably a Giants fan. How do you think they're going to do this year now that Odell Beckham Jr. is gone?
I grew up on the other side of that one, Hugh.
And, Jets fan?
Watched a certain someone make some sacks for the other team back in the day.
I'm impressed with that because it's not too many. Most people you talk to from New York, they're usually Giants fans, so I'm impressed
with
that.
Hey, you found one. Yay!
I think that the Giants, I find it so hard to see exactly how all the Giants moves add up for this year, because everything they did said, we're looking into the future, we're looking down the line, except for the fact that Eli is still there and that they've been so insistent that they think they can win now with Eli Manning on the as the quarterback. I we'll see how that plays out. But I think that the getting rid of Odell Beckham, letting Landon Collins walk away, the trades they made last year with Eli Apple and Snacks Harrison, it Dave Gettleman has taken away everybody that the previous regime brought in. It happens in a lot of places when that happens. It just doesn't usually deal with players that are quite so high profile, where you're taking away all the, you know, all the best players on the team, and really leaving it with Saquon Barkley and a ton of question marks. I think the offense is going to actually be better, whether it's Manning or Daniel Jones. But that defense, I just don't see the high-end talent on the defense that they're going to be able to hang in for a full season here without being on, unless they're winning shootouts every single week, which is tough to do. I think that it's going to be a long season for the Giants as they figure out what they need to do defensively to match up with an offense. Now you have Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, and you really clearly are, you have your foundation pieces to build on for the future. The defense still needs those.
Josh Alper of Pro Football Talk joining John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
First of all, Josh, I want to apologize for penciling you in as a Giants fan. So I have a Jets question for you. With Le'Veon Bell being the running back now, do you believe that story he told about those two women taking his jewelry? Like, do you believe they were his girlfriends or some women that he just met the night before?
Well, I mean, I think they if I had to say anything, I think it would be they were his girlfriends for a very short period of time and short-term relationship. I think that everything with Le'Veon Bell seems to come with a little extra layer of drama, a little extra layer of the stuff that makes coaches scratch their heads and wonder why. But then, you know, you see him on the field and he can make it worthwhile to deal with all the other stuff. And for the Jets, I mean, it's been so long since they've had that kind of dynamic offensive player. And you have that with the hope of Sam Darnold. And you hope that, you know, if those stories are coming out and, do I think that they were his girlfriends? No, probably not. That they stole the stuff from him is a pretty good sign. They weren't feeling the same about him anyway.
Yeah, well, he just sat out the wrong event. That's all. Le'Veon sat out the wrong event. Josh Alper joining us from Pro Football Talk. On to another little NFL headline here. The commissioner this week said, hey, four preseason games, probably too many. No duh. It used to be six. The Falcons are playing five this year with the Hall of Fame game. Are we bound and determined in the new CBA to go to an 18-game season? Is that going to happen?
I think there's a real chance. I think there's a very real chance because I think it's for a league that's obsessed with growth under Roger Goodell and financial growth. There aren't so many avenues left other than that. I think the other one that could come up is expanding the playoffs. I would think that there is a deal to be made for an 18-game season in terms of a way to make it financially worth the while of the players to get that done. I know the union has taken a hard stance against it, and they should, because it's a big give, and it's something that they should get a lot in return for, you know, before that happens. And I just think that it's going to be something that the league really renews a really strong push for, and I would not be surprised at all. I don't think it's bound and determined, but I don't see it as being a unlikely outcome of whatever these talks, you know, wherever these talks go, especially if the league wants to get it wrapped up quickly, that's a big thing to talk about, a big thing to sell going into the 100th season, that the CBA would be done and that you're making this big change to the way the NFL operates.
Yeah, because I agree, Josh Alper of Pro Football Talk. I'll just tell you what I see. I see 18-game regular season coming, 14-team playoff with only the number one seed getting a bye. We'll talk about reseeding. I don't know how that'll work, but maybe more of an NBA style. I see an expansion of rosters from 53 to 58, and I see talk of London really heating up after that, really heating up about expansion.
I think all of those things make I think the expanded rosters is a must if you expand the season. And, yeah, the international, that goes right back to what I was saying about growth. That's where the growth possibilities for the league are. I think that the United States, if you're not an NFL fan, it's hard to imagine you're an adult who's not an NFL fan who decides to pick it up one day. But the rest of the world, there's a lot of people in a very different predicament.
Josh, do appreciate your insight. Thanks much.
You the man, Josh. Thank you.
Have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.